Holy Bible is holy, reliable. You might not think this was necessary to say in a gospel chapter like this, but there are many people today call themselves evangelicals who tell us that the Bible has errors in it, and that the Apostle Paul was just giving his own opinion, and we don't have to pay any attention to him anymore than anybody else. And the whole thing boils down to this: the Bible isn't reliable at all. But of course, we disagree and fight violently against that attitude. But I want to speak this morning on the blessings of Scripture, because I suppose you all believe that the Bible is God's Word. And I ask you to turn first of all to John's Gospel. We read a number of scriptures in the New Testament which together show us some of the blessings we get from God's Holy Word. John 3 verse 5. This is a kind of a sword drill. You have to turn quite fast because there must be a dozen verses here I have before me. John 3 and 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Chapter 8, verse 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews, 31, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Chapter 13, verse 8. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. 15, verse 11. Jesus says, and I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Ephesians 5. And verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 2 Timothy 3. The second epistle of Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when it is time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that eateth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And chapter 2, verse 2, the same epistle. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And 1 John 1, and verse 4. And these things write me unto you, that your joy may be full. Whew. Tired of turning pages? Well, turn back a page or two to 1 Peter. We'll start there. Because you have to start by being born again. You cannot expect to enjoy the scripture unless you've been born again, unless you've got a new life. And here Peter says that you're born again not by the priest sprinkling water on your head and saying something in Latin because you've been paid a certain amount. You're born again, according to Peter, by the word of God. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. The previous, and earlier in this chapter, he says, you're redeemed not with corruptible things, but silver and gold. Isn't that remarkable? Peter, of all the New Testament writers, should express it this way. You're redeemed not with silver and gold, not with silver and gold. And you're born again not with corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now you have the same truth in the third chapter of John, where the Lord Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The water is a picture of the Holy Scripture, as we have in Ephesians chapter 5 in the verse which I read there. You're born again by or through the Word of God. Now it's wonderful that the Word of God lives and abides forever. We don't know anything exactly like that in the natural realm. If a thing's living, it's going to die. If a thing abides, like a rock or a mountain, well, obviously it's living. It cannot reproduce itself. It cannot move. It cannot say or communicate or do anything. It's permanent, yes, but also dead, as far as our human experience is concerned. On the other hand, something lives is going to be like maybe like a tree on the redwood trees, 600 or 1,000 years old, whatever they are, but it's going to come to the end of its existence also. But the Word of God combines both of these wonderful attributes. It lives, it has life, it can give you life, it can change lives, yet it abides forever. In the Old Testament, the Word of Jehovah, God said there, my Word abides forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It abides forever. And this is how you're born again. Not with corruptible things, but with incorruptible. Then in the second passage, I want you to look back on, if you care to turn again to 2 Timothy, the second blessing, you have a salvation. From a child I was born the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say the Holy Scriptures do this. They don't make you wise. They're able to make you wise. See, there are lots of people who carry around the Bible almost like a fetish. And they have to have a Bible in the home. Well, it's a good thing to have it in the home. Something to dust off from time to time. But, of course, that's no value to you. No fetish whatsoever. During the war, they gave a lot of Bibles to servicemen with a brass cover on. You're supposed to wear it in your pocket there. And if a piece of shrapnel something came right at your heart, that might save you. That's not what the scripture means at all. It's able to make you wise. Lots of people even read the Bible. You never get wise on the salvation. Because they come to it critically. They say, how much of this are we going to believe? How much of this was copied from somebody else? How much of this is error? How much of this contradicts modern science and stuff and stuff? And if you come to the scripture with the right attitude, it's able to make you wise, and the salvation is not the greatest wisdom possible. We live in a day when education is a fetish with many people. And I like to say that you get knowledge in college and a world view at you, but no man's a fool who learns in God's school. And here's the word of God, despised by the world, but this was able to make you wise unto salvation. What course? In Harvard University, or the University of Buffalo, makes you wise unto salvation. Even not the opposite. Here you have the potential of Scripture. Now salvation is different from regeneration. Regeneration means you're born again, that's what Peter taught. But Paul here teaching is able to make you wise to salvation, to save you from the guilt of sin, to save you from the power of sin, to make you wise. Would you like to have that wisdom? Would you like to pass it on to somebody else? You can teach others also. Then in John 17:17, the great prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed that we might be sanctified. How? By moving off to a monastery, or living in the desert, or separating ourselves from all human contact? No. We're sanctified through the truth. And he identified the truth, gave a definition of it by saying, thy word is truth. Talking to his Father, sanctify them, I pray you, O my Father. Sanctify my disciples, my followers, through the truth. Thy word is truth. You know what truth is? Some of them said, truth is what God says about a thing. And that's a fact. Let God be true, if necessary, every other man contradicting him can be called a liar. Now, in regards to Timothy's admonition, the apostle sent from infancy, that was known the Holy Scripture. The word means a young infant, almost an infant, a babe in arms. And Timothy had learned the Scripture from his mother and from his grandmother. Talk about the ministry of women. There you have it. And I'd like to make a plea for family's devotions. We put some books out on the table there at the back. I'd like you to take a look at them. In introducing that book table, I'd like to ask this question. Whatever happened to old-fashioned family Bible reading? Maybe it's still alive and well in your home. I hope so. This is the day when homes are being broken up. Assemblies are faced with the problems of broken marriages. In the assembly last Sunday, and the man counted up, on the elder counted up, 6 cases of marital problems in the assembly. Divorce, separation, or new divorce, or divorce and what have you. They had a meeting about it on Thursday night of this week. I don't pretend, I'm not going to stand here and say that the family that prays together, stays together, as an invariable rule, but it's certainly a trend, is it not? And if we can't keep our families together by the word of God, what can we keep them together on what basis? Psychology? You can take seminars, you can take courses in how to face family problems, etc. But I believe in the word of God. So we prepared a series of studies that go right through the whole Bible called Come and Dine, based on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ on that wonderful resurrection morning, not the day of resurrection, but before he went back to heaven. The disciples came to him, and he went to show his come and die. And I will say the morning is the best time for the word of God. One young brother had this slogan: no Bible, no breakfast. If he slept in, couldn't get up in time for everything, for Bible and breakfast, okay, the breakfast had to go with the Bible. I believe the Lord will bless that attitude. Now, I know that family devotion in the morning may be difficult, because everybody gets up at a different time and generally rushes off to whatever as fast as possible, and carries a cup of coffee with them, and is ready to catch the commuter train or what have you. But whatever time of day it might be, I think for personal devotion, you should certainly have them in the morning. And this is equally valid for our individual devotion. But we recommend going through the whole Bible, verse by verse. This is like the many daily devotional plan where you read through the Bible. This is different because it gives instruction on what the chapter contains. Not just a snappy story or illustration or some beautiful devotional thought or one verse or one phrase out of the passage, but it explains in summary fashion the contents of the chapter. I don't see it answer every problem in Scripture. But it will give you a good start on it. I read the results of a questionnaire from a highly respected group of young people. And the question was anonymously asked, in your home, a daily devotions the common practice, or words to that effect. You'd be chagrined to find how many places didn't have family devotions. Now this series called Coming Down, I'd like you to take a look at it. We're taking orders for them. If you want to get them, start the personal year, be a good time to start. But in 3 years' time, go right through the whole Bible. Well, you don't have to take 3 years to go through the Bible. You can go through the Bible, you can read through the Bible in 64 hours. If you don't need to sleep or anything else. A friend of mine used to read through the Bible every 17 days. Even that's a sort of a hop, skip, and a jump. This is a moderate fashion. 3 years to read through the Bible. Wouldn't be bad, would it? Now it's expensive. It costs you $10.95 for the whole series. Which isn't really expensive. It turns out to be 1 cent a day. 365 times 3. $10.95, you're right. So for 1 penny a day, you can feed your soul. Beloved, you couldn't feed your pigeon for a penny a day. Not at the price of these pet foods. But for 1 cent a day, you can have this series and go right through the Bible, and it'll give you some understanding of what it's all about. And then we've got others that I want to mention to you as well. This is for camp and young people up to about 14 years of age, called The Looking Glass. It goes through the Bible. There are 5 books in this series. It goes through the Bible, 90% of the Bible, for young people, with little comments which are very suitable for people 12, 13, 14 years of age. And it costs the same price for the series, but there are 5 books in this series, because we don't expect the young people to be quite so fast. This is for the same as this, but it's for the comments of the senior teens, and the 2 books in this series so far is based on the same reading as that one. And then for advanced students, such as many of you perhaps would like to know about this one, day by day through the New Testament. This was written by a brother in England, about 20 different brethren in England. Cost $6, goes through the New Testament in 1 year. Every day, as a portion of a chapter you read, and that much explanation. Beautiful, thoughtful, Christ-exalting explanation if you know your Bible pretty well to start with. The allusions, other parts of Scripture, which will be very, very interesting to you. We read it every day, and there are a number of people who do so. Now, you can't take these books with you unless you come back at 8 o'clock tonight. There's only one of these, but if you want to get one, fill in this order form. Preferably leave the money with me. I'll mark it paid. The mails here without any charge for postage will come to you as quickly as the post office department will allow. Well, that's the Timothy, knew the Word of God from infancy. And the Lord Jesus Christ prayed that we might be sanctified through the Word of God. Now, in the passage in Peter, which we read before, it says that you should desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Growth is a blessing in the things of God. The Apostle Paul used the same metaphor in connection with the Corinthians. He said, you're only babe. I can't feed you with strong meat, I've got to feed you with milk. Because you haven't grown. Sad situation, isn't it? I remember seeing a boy in Africa, missionary's son, a very, very low intelligence, about 40% maybe. The child couldn't move, at least he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, couldn't focus its eyes. Just laying his high chair like this, 12 years old. The only intelligent reaction he ever saw was when the father came and said, Robert, Robert. And the little thing would sort of roll his eyes like that. Fed him with poison. Poison slopped down his mouth. He had to push it back. He couldn't move his food properly. 12 years old. I see these kids running around full of energy, physical energy, and enjoying life and so on, learning fast every day. And what a comparison. What do you think it looks like to heaven to see a Christian? 12 years saved maybe, he hasn't learned hardly a thing about the Word of God. Well, that's the way you grow. Then in the first, in the Gospel of John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said you should know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Freedom's a big word today, is it not? Well, this is how you get truly free from reading the Scripture, knowing the Scripture. Then in Hebrews it says also, you get strength from the Word of God. And the writer there complained that he couldn't give them the deeper teaching he wanted to give them because they were just infants, just children. He says, you ought to be teachers. And here I've got to feed you with, with milk again, teach you what are the first principles of God's word. Because he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. This is the word of righteousness. And a person is well grounded in scripture can take strong meat. And by reason of use and by reason of practice, his senses are exercised, experienced, to discern between good and evil. Now it's nice to see a person that can tell instantly if you say something that's not quite scriptural, he'll know it at once. And if there's some act or some behavior, some form of behavior, he knows it's right. He doesn't have to start looking at this and asking the others and so on. He knows for himself in the word of God. He's exercised in discerning between good and evil. Now, teaching is for everybody. Every Christian should be able to teach somebody else. That's what the word teaches. And then again in John's Gospel, the word keeps us clean. The Lord Jesus said, if I wash you not, thou have no part with me. He said, you're clean every whit. He that washes clean every whit, and that's where we stand in Christ. Our sins are washed away. But no one tell you you've got to go through the tribulation or something to get rid of the rest of your sins. Or go to purgatory, because you're not quite clean enough. He that has washed is clean every whit, the Lord Jesus said. Every particle, every iota. But you need that daily washing as you walk through this evil world. Your feet have to be washed. Not literally, but spiritually. And in his 15th chapter, in the same class, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's the word of God. It makes you clean. I wonder if this is why God's word, the reading of God's word, is not so popular. Maybe some people don't want to be clean. They don't want to be told that this is wrong and not wrong. But the only way to please the Lord Jesus. Then in Acts chapter 22, we'll end with this one. It says, Acts 20 I should say, and the speech of the Apostle Paul to the elders at Ephesus. He said he had to leave them, he wouldn't see them all again. And he said that some of them would be gone before he got back, if he ever got back. He said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give an inheritance. Now, the word of God's grace can build up the assembly and also can give us, as individuals, inheritance. We need to be built up and come by the word of God. And we need, we can hope for an inheritance. He says, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So these are some of the blessings which God's precious word gives to us as we come to it day by day. I would like to say that you never get to the bottom of scripture. You never read it all. You never know it all, I should say. You can read it, yes. And I recommend the constant, continuous reading of scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Not once, not twice, but again and again and again. I think it'll keep you from getting off on a sidetrack or riding some hobby horse to death. A lot of people think of a hobby horse or a pet theme they like to harp on whenever they can. And sometimes they go too far on it. All kinds of people go too far. Even the great Martin Luther went so far on salvation by faith that he rejected the epistle of James. He couldn't see how that could fit in. What do you mean about balance? You've got to have, better mentioned before, salvation by grace alone. But rewards are by works alone. Rewards are not given on the basis of your praise just because you believe or because you serve the Lord as well. And you've got to keep that balance. And reading the word of God over and over again, not only extensively, but also intensively, going to those chapters and books you love, especially going with a fine-tooth comb. That's another kind of Bible study. Extensive, intensive. Because the scripture is rich and full of meaning. And do it every day. The Lord will give us help to understand his word. I thank the Lord for the Bible basis of this assembly. And in most assemblies which I go to, in fact, the only ones who invite me probably are those who believe in the inspiration of scripture. But since it's a matter of holding a faith, it's a matter of knowing it and doing it and passing the truth on to others also. The wonderful thing about spiritual things is the more you give away, the more you have. I heard of a boy and the teacher said to him, if you had, in arithmetic class, he said, if you had 7 apples or 7 pieces of candy, and I asked for 4, how many would you have? He said, 7. Because he wasn't giving any of his candy to his teacher. But in spiritual things, you can have 7 truths, you give away 7, you know how many you got left? Probably about 14. Because you're doing a lot and passing that on to others as well. That's what the truth of God is like. And you give a person a little bit of truth, like throwing a stone into a pond, and the ripples split out, you never know how far it's going to go. People come up to me constantly. Almost every place we go, it's even say, hey, I was in your classes in 19-something already. We're in Africa. Last year, I'm going to show you our pictures tonight of Africa. And we went to a place in the Sudan Television. Our host has said, you didn't remember me, but I was in your classes in the North Bible School. And so on. Different parts of the world, it happens like that. So you give a truth and it can spread out and pass on and be a blessing to others as well. It's a wonderful light to get the truth of God into your own soul. Understand it. Relish it. Love it. Pass it on. You never know how far it's going to go. I can tell you something tonight about our work, which is Everyday Publication, the Missionary Literature Enterprise, located in the city of Crandall. And as I said before, with slides, supporting slides from what we saw in Africa, especially when it got to literature work there. Shall we close in a word of prayer?